time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
Thanks for checking in. Mitch, Paul, Matt Eumanns with you live in Las Vegas in 5 minutes. Nigel Seeley is going to join the program, has had a really good week in soccer yet again. He's going to give us his best bets for today and this weekend in that sport. A couple of things to get to here on Twitter. Bob Montgomery tweets us, fellas. They just mentioned VSiN on Korean baseball on ESPN. They were talking about everyone looking for info on sports gambling. Thank you, ESPN, and whoever's on the broadcast. I don't have the game on in front of me. Appreciate that. And he's coming out to Vegas in a couple of weeks for his 60th birthday. Well, happy early birthday, Bob. And this is from Paul Bunny. Brendan Todd, 71. 70-1, first round leader at the PGA. Cha-ching. There you go. The guy's been red hot playing golf. And Matt, this guy's an incredible story.
He is. He almost quit golf about a year and a half ago. A year ago, ranked 800th in the world. Right now shares the PGA lead after the first round with Jason Day. And Brendan Todd, really the Cinderella story out of nowhere that you talk about in golf. There's a tweet right there. This time last year, Todd was 795th in the world. He's won two tournaments, led two others after 54 holes since. Now co-leads the PGA. Last week, he had the lead on Sunday when Justin Thomas came back in Memphis and got the win. By the way, Nigel Seeley was with me on JT, I think, last week. So he cashed a golf winner a week ago. But I thought the leaderboard was outstanding yesterday. You look at Jason Day at the top. You got Xander Schauffele, Zach Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Justin Rose, Tony Finau, Daniel Berger, Gary Woodland. I looked at Jeff Sherman's adjusted odds at the Westgate. He's got Koepka. I'll tell you right now, he's got Koepka as the 9-2 favorite, Schauffele at 7-1, Day at 8-1. I bet all three of those guys before the tournament, so I like that. Hopefully those guys can keep it going for the next 3 days. Do you guys have a piece of Koepka, Schauffele, or Day?
I have a story on both Schauffele and Day, quickly. I went to put money in my account on Sunday or Monday when Xander Schauffele was 28-1. Mm-hmm. As the money went into my account, he moved to 18-1. So I stayed away. Couldn't believe it. He was still available at one spot in town at 28-1. And of course I missed it by about 3 seconds. And I was waiting and waiting and waiting on Day. He was 48-1 at Circa. I said, if he touches 50, I'm hammering it. And I kept refreshing. I was like on it all day, never touched 50. And it went the other way. So
I'm like,
not going to bet him.
I took the 48. Yep.
Yeah. That's
right. It's a great leaderboard. Mm-hmm. Even Tiger's right there at 2-under as well.
Yep.
Finau, some big names. Ricky Fowler, thanks for checking in. Spieth as well.
Spieth.
And Phil, I think Phil was 2-over too. So that is a sexy leaderboard, and it's going to be Mitch said it all week. He's right. Yeah, golf till 7 o'clock at night our time with being out in the Bay Area. It's great.
I mean, that totally gets lost in the shuffle because we rarely have majors in the Pacific time zone.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And I think it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's no good in the morning, Mitch, when you want to watch TV coverage and you have to have ESPN Plus if you want to watch between 7 a.m. and noon, but it's great in the afternoon and evening. Right. Yeah.
Welcome into the program today. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard, and Matt Eumanns. Nigel Seeley coming up in a minute. I want to give you this because if you're, we have Indy Jeff on Wednesdays. And if you, follow the podcast, his podcast, the Cupmaker podcast, and also if you signed up for his text messages, he sends all 4 days with matchups and everything. He said this today, if you don't already have a bet on Abraham Ancer to win, take a look at him for a small wager, 65-1 or better. 9th in ball striking, 13th tee to green, 11th in putting, 111th in putting, much better than this. He was 6th in greens and regulations gained, and he can roll off birdies with good putting. He was playing a terrific round yesterday. I have him at 125-1. He was mistake-free, fellas. He was 3-under through 17, and on 18, just avoid a mistake, avoid trouble, go in, you're going to be in the mix. And he posted a double bogey on 18 to finish at 1-under. Man, that was crushing to me.
Yeah, watch that. Okay. I've got a small bet on him, too, at 55-1. You obviously got the best number out there, 125-1 on Answer. But, hey, Mitch, he's still in it, 1-under with his game. I mean, this thing can turn around quickly.
How about the call by Indy Jeff to give out Tom Lewis? Never heard of him. He's 2 shots back. What was Tom Lewis? I mean, Tom Lewis is right there.
Tom Lewis.
That's right. Yeah. He goes, yeah, I'll pizza money on Tom Lewis.
Tied
the kids
for 12.
Took shots. Yeah, how about that? Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun this weekend.
All right, so Nigel Seeley joins the program now, our buddy from across the pond. He's great on soccer, but he's also great on tennis and golf. And before we get into the soccer picks today, Nigel, first of all, good to talk to you again, pal. How did day one treat your golfing bets at the PGA Championship? Do we have Nigel?
There he is. I see him.
Yeah. Hello. How are you?
Morning, mate. I'll ask you, was day one okay for you at the PGA with your golf bets?
Mixed, really. I mean, I think every golf expert in the world is on Shoffley. I'm one of them. I think I don't think there's a golf tipster or a golf bettor who hasn't bet in their portfolio. I think the amount of people I know who've bet him, he should be favourite rather than a 20-1 shot. So he's one of my selections, which is no surprise, really. I think the course is absolutely perfect for his setup for him. I was on Justin Thomas. Obviously, last week, as Matt said there, we've done so well for us. And I expected a bit more yesterday. Pretty disappointed, really, with his performance. But, you know, he's out to about 50-1 now. But I think he's still in the shake-up. I think anyone can win it, really. I was on Abraham Ancer, as you said there. And a couple of props, which weren't really good. I backed Tiger to miss the cut, which I don't think that's going to happen. And I backed Adam Scott to miss the cut just because it's his first tournament back. And I thought he might take a bit of time. So I don't think that's going to happen, really. So really, Shoffley is the one that I'm really hoping for. And if I was going to have a bet this morning on the odds, I think I'd go in again on him, you know.
Okay. Good.
Yep. Okay. Sounds good.
All right, my man. Here we go. Three winners this week. Break it down as only you can with the soccer. And we got the Champions League today and tomorrow. Juventus and Lyon. First leg, Lyon won 1-0. Juventus is $1.85 at BetRivers. 2.5 the total. You can lay a goal -140. Juventus to advance -130. What do you like in this one? Break it down, please.
Well, firstly, have you got a cold? Have you got a cold, Paulie?
Yes. I don't know what's going on. I know.
How can you have a cold in 110 degree heat?
I know. I don't understand. Yeah, I know. I woke up with it. Yeah, my nose is running. I know. It's a disgrace.
He's got the air conditioner on 69, and he never leaves the house. That's how he has a cold.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I wonder, I thought you had a mask on or something, Paulie, when you were talking there, but now... okay, let's have a look at the football. Yeah, we've had a great week. And it's going to come thick or fast with the way that the Champions League and the Europa League is set up now. You know, you've got an 8-team tournament going to come in next week in Germany and then in Portugal as well for the Champions League. And it's going to be bets and plays all over the place, which is going to be really exciting. So, there's two Champions League games tonight. Manchester City are playing Real Madrid. If you look at last night's results and the day before as well, all the home teams won. And I think that's pretty important, really, because, you know, people travelling, it's probably not going to be nice to travel anymore, you know. And people, I think the home side have a huge advantage. And you know, the disadvantage, obviously, no fans. But I think the fact that people are travelling, I mean, it's only some of these cases, it's only a short flight. But I still don't think it's going to be very nice to travel in the circumstances they've got now. So it didn't come as any surprise that 8 home teams out of 8 all won in the last couple of days. So that's one thing I would say. But Real Madrid do have an exceptionally good away record in the Champions League. I mean, they turned around some big deficits in the past. And Manchester City, over the years, have been a side who everyone expects to win the Champions League or do well, but they've always failed to deceive. And I think it's Guardiola's come with such a fantastic CV from what he did at Barcelona. And it's just the one thing that's eluding him at Manchester City. And the pressure on Manchester City to win this trophy is enormous. And they hold a 2-1 lead from the first leg. Real Madrid are without the suspended Ramos defender there who got sent off in the first leg. I think this may be a lot closer than what people are suggesting. I wouldn't write Real Madrid. I mean, they've won a record number of Champions League wins. They're a quality outfit. They're the champions of Spain. They've just beaten Barcelona. And I think they've been a little bit overlooked here. I know they're trailing. They've got to go out and win. So Real Madrid offer a smidgen of value for me. I don't think they'll get beat. A draw's not a bad result for Manchester City. So as long as Real Madrid don't win, they will qualify. But one thing I would say, goals angle. The last two matches between these two sides in Champions League have been 0-0 and 1-1 at Manchester City when they played in this fixture. So everyone has expected a huge amount of goals. I wouldn't be so carried away. I think it's a massive, massive game for both clubs. And I think it could be very tight. And the other thing is in England today, it's our hottest day of the year. It's around about 36 degrees today. And I think that's going to take its toll on these players after a long season. So goals could be at a premium. The other one I think the goals could be at a premium will be in the game between Juventus and Lyon. Juventus are trailing 1-0 from the first leg. They are the masters at getting the result and shutting down defensively. And I think once they get their nose in front of this tie, and they could probably shut down Lyon. Lyon haven't played for an awful long time. Their season ended back in March, and they haven't played a competitive game since March. And you can look at that as a positive or a negative. I look at it more of a positive because I think they're going to be fit, they're going to be training, and they've had one eye on this match. So I don't think goals will be hard to come by in that one. So I'm tempted to go unders in both games today, and I'm tempted to go unders on the game tomorrow between Chelsea and Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich are hold a 3-0 lead. Chelsea without eight key players. Bayern Munich, they're 3-0 up. If they go 1-0 up, they can rest all their players. They've got a 4-goal advantage and have everybody safe and well for the knockout stages. And there's no need for them to go out win 4 or 5-0 when so many quick games are coming in succession next week. So I can see them just getting their noses in front and making sort of wholesale changes and protecting players. So I think it's a night for unders in the Champions League, both tonight and tomorrow.
Okay, the great Nigel Seeley, our guest, 3-0 this week with his picks at Seeley_Nigel on Twitter. Follow him and get in touch with him, the best soccer guy out there. Any thoughts on Barcelona and Napoli? The first leg was 1-1. Barcelona, $3 to advance.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those games that Barcelona should win. I mean, they've got the quality of players to win, but the way Barcelona ended at the end of their domestic season was so poor. But, you know, it's all about the Champions League now for Barcelona. They have to throw everything at it because they were so disappointed in the league season. You would expect Barcelona to come through, but I don't think this Barcelona side is as great as it has been in previous years. Messi is obviously now getting to a stage where he's at the twilight of his career, still a quality player and still, you know, someone who could turn it on and score a hat-trick in this game easily, but they're not the side they were. They're being priced up on numbers of history rather than current form. But I still think they'd be too strong for Napoli. Again, I would go towards the unders again. I can see Barcelona winning 2-0. I wouldn't be surprised to see the under in all the matches tonight, and that would probably be my my lean and a couple of official plays on the service on the under goals.
Okay. So what's the plan? Tell our viewers, because you were so hot here the last month. What's the plan for future? And you hit Vardy 20-1 and a ton of futures. Leeds. We're about a month away from the Premier League starting again. And I don't know what's going on with the championship, but when are you giving out futures and top goal scorers and teams to be relegated? When can we look for all that?
Sure. I think we made 77 points of profit on the futures. We showed about 115% ROI, which is fantastic. And we've done that consistently over the couple of years. It's what I think is my strongest part of my betting, because I know so many lower league sides. I know a lot of the players and a lot of the coaches. And I know, most importantly, at that level, I know the teams that have got budgets and who haven't got budgets. The big problem is we don't know who's buying players now because the whole of the football world is up in the air. So, if you know, there's some clubs that are buying few players, but all of them on free transfers. We don't know if a couple of clubs in League Two are going to survive until we can get fans back. So it's a really delicate position. And a lot of bookmakers aren't out with their lines yet. So what I'm trying to say, I will have futures ready and ready to go Premier Sports Plays at the end of this month, maybe in the first week of September. And what I tend to do is I concentrate on one division on the Monday. So we have a week of futures. We do one division on the Monday, one division on the Tuesday, and then we run into the week and the season starts on the Saturday. That's what I've done for the last couple of years. But I think at the moment it's very hard to have an angle. But I think when the lines do come out, I think this year will probably be probably one of the easiest years to make money, because there are the haves and the have-nots in the lower league of English football is going to be immense after the effects of COVID. And money really talks at that level, and I think we should be able to have some real fun. But it will be available at the website, www.premiersportsplays. And if you sign up for next season now, you can get access to all the plays, which are going to be all the way through to the Champions League final on the 23rd of August. So all the plays tonight, all the plays in midweek, and all the way through in this fantastic sort of World Cup style we're going to have over the next week.
Yeah.
Excellent. Do you like anybody in tennis today?
Do you know what? It's a women's tournament in Italy. It's the only tournament I've really concentrated on. There was one bet I had yesterday which won, which was quite good. There's a lot of short price favourite, Mitch. And I never really trust women tennis when they've got fans. I never really trust women tennis players when they've got fans with my money a lot anyway. And without the fans, they've had a lot of motivation, a lot of money, not a prize money. I think it's very difficult. Again, it's no surprise. The tournament is in Italy, and there's three Italians into the quarterfinals. That just shows you, I think, what's going to happen in the world of sport. I think local players and local teams travelling and players travelling aren't going to like what we have to be forced to do to travel. So I think that could be the angle that's coming out of tennis. When we have a tournament in America, I think the American players will do well in the ATP tournament. And I think the same all around the world. I think the fact that you're not going to have to travel, you're not going to have to sit on an aeroplane for 7 hours with a mask on, and then come out in a whole new environment is going to be huge for the home-based players. So no surprise at all to see a lot of Italians dominating this week in Italy in the women's tour.
Good analysis. Follow him on Twitter. He is at Sealy_Nigel. You're the best. Good luck again this weekend. Thanks for the time, mate.
Yeah, good luck. Have a good one. And Paulie, hope the cold gets better, mate. Hope the cold gets better.
All right, mate. It's embarrassing. I don't know what hell happened when I woke up. Thanks, buddy. Unbelievable. Okay, so again, is that we don't have enough going on, right? 12 o'clock Pacific, Champions League, Juventus in Lyon, Man City and Real Madrid today. Tomorrow, Munich and Chelsea and Barcelona and Napoli. Then you got more next week. And to play this down with the Champions League, Europa, Nigel had three easy winners this week as well with the Europa. So good point about the Heat. And he sees a lot of unders here in the Champions.
How do you like that offseason for the soccer world?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We'll see ya.
He joked
we'll
about
see ya. Right back. Coming back with the Premier League September 12th.
Oh. Incredible. His last appearance, I think, was at... Boy, my time frame, I have no clue when it happened. It could have been last week, could have been 2 weeks ago, but he kind of joked it.
Wasn't he on the show like 10 days ago and you guys said, hey, great season, thanks a lot.
Yes.
And
yes.
What, right. So the off season lasted, what, 9 days?
Yeah. 4 hours.
Okay. Because
he joked at the time, he's like, I need to have a couple of pints and I'd have to take a vacation. Yeah. I guess the vacation's over with.
Yep. Get on it. Get right back on it. The season starts in a couple of weeks.
Hey, I guess we could be looking at the same thing here. If basketball goes until like whatever October, middle of October, and then December's here, guys, come on, let's go.
You know what? I was gonna say something about that too. I was talking with Aaron Renning about that yesterday. How is the NBA gonna convince these guys to go back in a bubble in December?
Yeah,
I think it's going to be very difficult to do. I don't think the next NBA season is going to start until January of 21.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I don't think
you got to push it back.
Yeah, good point. I totally agree.
How are we going to get college football in 29 days? And less than that. That was a good tweet by Brad Towers when the Big Ten schedule came out earlier this week. He's like, "It's great, love it. Want to break it down, but we're going to get football in like 4 weeks." Okay.
Yeah, that's one of those, believe it when you see it sort of things. I'll believe that we're going to have college football when I see the teams on the field. I looked at the Big Ten schedule, too, and I was like, yeah, is it really worth handicapping, breaking this down? Because how realistic is it that we're going to see these games? Ohio State hosting Michigan on October 24th. What are the chances we actually see that game?
I know. Yeah. Matt, you had one of the best calls in the history of this network a couple of years ago when you said that Purdue was going to pull off the outright upset against Ohio State at home, and they did. And if I recall correctly, they kind of blew them out in that game, and they scored a zillion points on them. Yeah. I think that's kind of a popular pick again this year.
49-20 was the score in that game. Rondale Moore for Purdue opted out of the season yesterday. Minnesota's best wide receiver opted out. You know, even if you have a college football season, it's not going to look the same. There are going to be so many players, I think, opting out and sitting out for the NFL draft, don't you think?
Oh, yep. For sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think the count is up to 66. This was as of yesterday. NFL? So, yeah, 66 NFL players now. Up next here, follow the money on Beast and a recap of the PGA and a look at the updated outright numbers coming up here on the Sports Betting Network. Email is always open. It's ftm@vsin.com, ftm@vsin.com. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard, along with Matt Eumanns. Day two PGA Championship in San Francisco at Harding Park. Matt, the only major I've ever attended in my life was in San Francisco. That was at the Olympic Club back in 2012 when I thought Jim Furyk probably should have won the tournament, and Webb Simpson actually came away the winner. It was weird at the end. This I know character called Birdman came in and interrupted the interview with him on the course at the end. But that's the only major I've ever attended in person.
Birdman from Alcatraz.
Yeah, remember that? Yeah, okay.
Well, you know, I do remember Jim Furyk actually was sponsored by 5-Hour Energy, and that was ironic because the old man ran out of energy on Sunday afternoon. Do you recall that?
Yes, I do. Yeah. Yep. So now this is kind of played. They were saying that Harding Park used to be the parking lot area for the Olympic Club. Anyway, I thought yesterday's action was pretty fantastic. I was hoping that in the morning session it would play a little bit more difficult for the golfers. But I know Wes was tweeting about this. Wes Reynolds, great on the Sport of Golf. He said he thought that day one would probably be the easiest the golfers would have it. Don't know if that's going to be true, but I hope he's right.
Yeah, Wes tweets about a lot of things.
this is very true, yes.
Who tweets more during the day, Wes Reynolds or Rex Byers? Is that a toss-up?
I wouldn't know. I don't. I muted him.
I figured Paul didn't follow Rex.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that guy, yeah. He likes to invite himself to gatherings, that clown. That guy.
Wow. You know what? Wes is right, though. You know, the weather was so benign yesterday. There was no wind. And, you know, when the elements, when it's cold and windy, that's going to be a really difficult course to play. Yesterday was like, Mitch, you lived in the Bay Area for a long time. How often do you see those sunny, warm days like we saw yesterday? Not too often, right?
I mean, I couldn't believe it when I lived there. First of all, I love the area, but it needs to like if L.A. could lend the Bay Area like 10 degrees or Vegas could somehow switch 10 degrees to the Bay Area, then it would be perfect. Yeah. But I'm telling you, I used to go to Giants games. We would take like the ferry to the Giants games, right? I would have to wear a hoodie in June.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is happening? I'm not in Alaska.
I love that city, but I went to Old Candlestick Park.
Yeah.
It was a day game. Yeah. By the seventh inning, you had to put a jacket on. I'm sure. It was nuts. I know.
Yeah, same way. I actually flew up to San Francisco last year to go to the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. When I got off, I walked out of the airport at night, and it was like 48 degrees, and I was wearing a T-shirt. I didn't realize it was going to be that cold up there. But that was in June last year, and that was when Gary Woodland won the U.S. Open. And, that Webb Simpson won that 2012 U.S. Open at the Olympic Club, and I was with a lot of people. I thought the winner would probably be somewhere around, I thought maybe 11 or 12 under par in this tournament. So the scores were lower yesterday than what we expected. But the weather was so nice that you got to think the course is going to get tougher here the next few days. Friday, Saturday, Sunday is going to be more challenging. There were so many guys putting up good scores yesterday, and it didn't really anticipate that was going to happen. But the weather was perfect. It was perfect playing conditions.
What did you think when Koepka got off to the slow start?
Well, you guys recall last week, it was on Friday afternoon. Koepka actually, remember when he three-putted from 3 feet? Hmm? Did you see that a week ago Friday? He probably should have won that tournament last week instead of Justin Thomas. If he can avoid a minor blow-up like that this week, I think he's got a great shot to win. It looked like he was going to get off to a really slow start yesterday. I thought, and Jeff Seeley was on with us Wednesday, and he's all in on Brooks Koepka to win this tournament. I think we have a piece of him as well. I know I do. And he got off to such a slow start, I was concerned, but he rebounded quickly. And by the time he made the turn yesterday, you could tell that Koepka had it. So I think it was really encouraging the fact that he got off to a poor start. He bounced back, and he was only one stroke off the lead when the day finished. So I think Koepka's going to hang around. He's going to be right there in the hunt on Sunday afternoon. And like Paul said, fantastic leaderboard. You're going to have some big names. This is going to be, I think, fantastic actually for live wagering on Sunday afternoon with so many good players who are going to be in the hunt.
Good point. Yes, I hope that happens. And this continues with so many guys right there that you're right. Absolutely. What's the saying? The coldest winter I ever spent was this.
That was Mark Twain.
There it is. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Yeah, great call, man. Yeah.
Exactly what it was. And yet, like, February and October would be absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
Strange. We'll look at today's baseball card coming up next. Man, are some bad pitchers going today.
Bet Rivers, baby. Odds boost, bonus cash, profit boost. Bet Rivers Sportsbook has it all. Bet Rivers gives rewards with every bet. You can get to use your bonuses when you want to use them, not when they tell you to. And when you want to use your bonus cash, you don't have to play it 50 times to convert that bonus into real cash. One-time playthrough is hard to beat, and you've got it at Bet Rivers. What are you waiting for? Get up there now. Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Start earning rewards today. Sign up now. Get up to a $250 match on your first deposit. All bonuses are a one-time playthrough. There's no faster way to turn your bonus cash into real cash. Visit the Bet Rivers Sportsbook today. We love it. And again, just for one example, Memphis and OKC coming up. OKC 4.5, 222.5 the total. 167 different ways to bet that one game. And guys, it's been a funky start to the baseball season. The Marlins win again. But how about this? Going into yesterday, Altuve, Bregman, and Springer hitting a combined 184. Ooh, no buzzers, no trash cans. Ooh, not a good look. I know guys are, Yelich is struggling and other guys too. But this really, a lot of people are having fun with this.
Yeah, Altuve and Bregman each homered last night. So they're maybe starting to heat up a little bit. How about Gary Sanchez of the Yankees? I think he started out 1-for-24 or something before he hit a home run yesterday. So you're right, a lot of guys off to really cold starts, especially those two stars for the Astros.
Well, today, I got to make sure this is right, fellas, because, Snell, he's still slated to go. I like how many times they've changed it on us, like during the overnight. But Snell is supposed to go, against Tanaka. Sanchez has 24 plate appearances against Snell, 19 official at-bats. He's rocked 4 home runs off of him so far. Small sample size, but 4 home runs, pretty good off of him. And I'm looking right now at the Westgate. They don't list pitchers over there, obviously. It's only action, and it's $1.05 on each side today for these two teams. Can Snell slow down this Yankees lineup? Now, they're easing him into the season. Here's the deal. He has 2 starts, but he's only pitched 5 innings, has not allowed a run. Now, he does have like a 16-plus K per 9 because he has 9 Ks in 5 innings. And last year against the Yankees, 22 innings pitched with a 4.50 ERA and a 1.41 whip.
Well, he's not going to last long in this game, Paul. The last time out, Blake Snell threw 97 miles an hour in the first inning. By the third inning, he was throwing 94, and he was starting to get hit. So I don't think that you're going to see Blake Snell go deep into this game. If you're looking to play the Rays, I don't think you can count on more than 4 or 5 innings tops from Blake Snell.
Okay. I would agree with that, too. Okay. How about the Marlins? How about America's team here? Out going for milk and trying to wreck baseball. But 6-1. 6-1. They're going against Waka, who's awful. The Mets 5-8. Can the Marlins keep this going? This is something.
Paul, I think you look at the success the Marlins are having. I think other teams around the league are going to start drinking more milk.
Yes, right. Oh God. Well, we got a story about this coming up too from Bob Nightingale that you won't believe. But it is fun to track. I mean, it's the one thing, and I'm watching NBA and NHL nonstop, and I am checking out on one baseball score, and that's the Marlins, just to see what they're up to, if they can keep this going. I mean, they come back, they're throwing shutouts. The Orioles were playing well. They take them out. Here they are, they're 6-1. Right, you know, this is wild. Plus, we got that guy with the 2,000-1 ticket to win the division. Oh, God. Yeah. After what happens with the Braves, I mean, it's not so far-fetched. You know, Soroka's out for the year. How about Marquez coming back, too? I didn't know that was allowed. Like, can Cespedes change his mind now? You know what? I had a change of heart. I'm coming back. You can opt out, opt in, opt out, opt in. I don't.
Mitch, I thought Marquez was out for the year, and he opted out. I didn't think he could play. All of a sudden, I see him, you know, so yeah. I'm not sure what the rule is. I guess if you opt out, you can still come back.
Hey, let me give you this. Did you realize that, Sandy Alcantara goes today for the Marlins? So he has one start on the year. But with their crazy, you know, postponements, cancellations, weird schedule, that start came back on July 24th. Oh. Today's August 7th.
He was
good. He was strong. I mean, he went 6 2/3 at Philadelphia, only allowed 3 hits, had 7 Ks. His velocity in the game, about 97 miles an hour. Put up pretty good numbers against the Mets in 2019 with a 3.31 ERA and about 8.5 Ks per 9. But as you said, Paul, Waka, he was okay at Boston his first start, really bad against Atlanta in his second start. I don't think he's a very good pitcher.
I don't know what happened. I mean, the guy was nails in St. Louis. He was starting big playoff games. Now he can't get me out. How things have changed. So what you mentioned too with Alcantara. How about the Cubs and the Cardinals? Cubs have played 13 games. Cardinals have played 5. And that's Lester going today for the Cubbies. So they got roughed up against the Royals. So here's the Cardinals with all that time off because of COVID. And the big one at 6:00 Pacific. I know a lot of people out there, Mike Palm's one of them, picked and have a ticket on the A's to win the division. They host the Astros. Mm-hmm. They already have a 2.5 game lead on them. And that's Bassett against Greinke. So if they could get out the broom here or at least take 2 out of 3, that'd be huge for all those people back in the Astros to win that division. Excuse me, the A's, who've won 6 in a row, and they're now 9-4. So here come the A's. Big series here again with, we're not going to have after this series. Okay, so you probably only got 40 games left. Maybe they open up a 3.5, 4.5 game lead.
Yeah, they could. The A's are off to a great start. They've had 2 walk-off grand slams already. Getting pretty good pitching. You got to like what you see from the A's. By the way, you mentioned the Cardinals. They have not played a game since July 29th.
Oh,
man. Wow. Well, in this game today for the Astros, Zach Greinke is supposed to take the hill. In his 2 starts so far, he went 3 1/3. Against Seattle, 5 2/3 against LA, the Angels on the year, 5.00 ERA. Here's the thing with Greinke. People said that he was going to be a bet against last year. Mm-hmm. How about this year, guys? He's down. His fastball is around 86 miles an hour so far. That's the velocity. Last year, his velocity for the full season was around 90.
Yep.
But this year now down 3.5, 4 miles an hour from a year ago.
You know, Paul said mad bum's done. We're seeing the same thing with mad bum. Velocity drops big time. You start to get hit. You're not the same pitcher. Greinke, velocity down 2.5 miles an hour so far, Paul.
Yep. And those first 5 unders came in again. Indians first 5, Rockies first 5.
Yep.
So that was another Freeland special. Freeland at home for the Rockies goes back. Yep. I mean, that is just an awesome trend where I think it was 1-0 yesterday, if I recall correctly, after the first 5.
Yeah. That has been gold. That has really been good. And then this run, the end. Was it 12-1-1 now? 13-1-1? The Indians' first 5 under of the season? Oh, that is kooky.
Yep. Yep. And we have a Luke Weaver sighting today.
Oh, no.
ERA on the year, 14.73.
Yeah, well, that's what Porcello had.
Might exact them. Yeah, I know.
That's baseball. Yeah.
All right, we can get into a little bit of the story coming up next from Bob Nightingale on Major League Baseball. It's so alarming with COVID. And also, I mean, it's such a great day with the NBA and NHL rolling along here on a Friday. Fellas, are you prepared to unveil your summer bod? Manscaped is here to ensure your post-quarantine body is ready for the wild. Don't be the guy at the beach with a bear rug on your chest. Manscaped is dedicated to helping you level up your full body grooming game. And they have forever changed the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0, which comes with the Essential Lawnmower 3.0 waterproof cordless body trimmer and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your manscaping routine. This is the best trimmer on the market for those of you in need of a chest shave. And this third generation trimmer features skin-safe technologies to reduce manscaping accidents. Subscribe to the Perfect Package and get a new blade refill for your lawnmower trimmer delivered to your front door every 3 months. And for a limited time, subscribers get two free gifts: the Shed Travel Bag, $39 value, and the patented high-performance reduced chafing Manscaped Boxer Briefs. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code VSIN20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and the code VSIN20. How about this story that we'll continue here with baseball for a second? Bob Nightingale had this on Major League Baseball and how they freaked out after the Marlins and the Cardinals combined. I think the number was 33 COVID cases. And now they were putting in tighter protocols. I mean, some of the stuff on the list, guys, did they not have protocols before the season came back? I mean, it's ridiculous. Listen to some of this stuff. Eating and drinking are still permitted on planes, but players and staff are prohibited from talking to one another at the same time.
That's ridiculous.
Like, what does that mean?
Come on. that's going way overboard.
You can't talk to each other. But
first of all, if you've tested everyone and they're negative and they're on the plane together, why can't they talk?
Right, and they can eat next to each other. There's something
that's like the NBA.
About,
huh? The NBA, you can't play ping pong. there's a limit on ping pong. Right. How many guys can play ping pong? It's like I'm boxing the guy out and I'm breathing. I'm in a game. What do you mean can't play next to a teammate? Yep. Come on. But some of this stuff, too, and that's why they got the Marlins and the media was all over them, that they in St. Louis went to a casino, and then the Marlins were going to bars and hanging out at restaurants together and hanging with other people at the hotel bar as well.
Come on, Paul. Yeah. They weren't doing that. Kelly, can you – I'm going to send a producer, Kelly, out to get some milk. They were not hanging out at bars. They were just going out to get milk and coffee, you know, and donuts and things like that. They were
sure. Yeah.
They weren't going to bars. Come on.
Yeah.
What about this bullet point from Nightingale's story? Clubs now are required to reduce the size of their traveling parties to only personnel who are absolutely essential to playing games. Who was traveling with them during the restart?
Exactly. Did they have a group from the circus traveling with some of these teams, or what was going on? I don't know.
Like the whole thing, like, guys, you didn't think about some of the stuff before you came back to play?
It's almost like baseball. Like you said, Mitch, last night we were talking about baseball really didn't have a strict plan. And then all of a sudden things blow up And then all of a sudden you have to draw up all these stringent rules to go overboard and act like you really do have a tough plan at this point when you really didn't have one before.
Well, this throws another wrench into handicapping.
Sure.
Because if they're going to come down with penalties and suspensions, if you're not following the rules now for repeated or flagrant violations, I mean, I'm just going to throw out a name, but it's okay. Well, Soto's doing this. He's not, because that was reported, right? Mm-hmm. Soto wasn't wearing his mask. So now you don't have a mask on, or you're not. Okay, 5-game suspension. I mean, this stuff's going to happen now. The memo says it will not tolerate reckless activity. There will be severe punishment. And after what happened here with two teams taking a week off and almost wrecking things. But NBA, A+, hockey, an A, too many penalties. But how they pulled this off, though, it's been unbelievable. And then these guys insisted, the players, we can't have a bubble. Once you went to 60 games, you had to have a bubble. And we'll see if they can still pull this off. But still, it's just, oh, man. I read this. I was just baffled at what was going on here. But before, well, they didn't really have a plan, and a lot of teams weren't following the rules and didn't think it was a big deal. I know one guy who we talked to was on the show. He knows a guy who covers a team. He said just blatant, like it was, like 2 years ago, like there's no COVID going on, what they're doing in their clubhouse. And he said, watch out, this team could get hit. So that'd be another one to watch and follow. But it's just, it's ridiculous.
Which team was that?
You want me to say?
Yeah.
All right. White Sox.
Okay.
Apparently the White Sox, from a guy who covers the team, that they were, this is like before the Marlins thing. It's like no one's wearing masks. It's like it was 1989 in there. No big deal. Everyone's like, what COVID? Hmm. And it was in the manager, no one enforcing anything.
Right.
So,
well, White Sox manager's a clown too. So,
yeah.
That doesn't surprise me that much. Obviously golf, UFC, the way the NBA and the NHL are doing it in a bubble, they have advantages. I think it's tougher to pull off in baseball. If you're not going to put half the teams in Florida at training camp sites and half the team in Arizona, you're going to have problems. It's going to be very difficult to prevent another outbreak from happening.
Mm-hmm. It could have worked. The players, and I'm not going to blame players they don't want to be a part of it. But this the whole bubble thing would have worked in Florida or Arizona.
Sure.
And the reason why I can say that is because it is absolutely working in Orlando, Edmonton, and Toronto.
Yeah.
Well, why not? Why don't you blame the players? If the NHL and NBA could do it, once they games.
What I wanted to add on is if players don't want to actually come back and play this year because of COVID and they have family problems, whatever. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to, that's fine. Yeah. But this completely, to me, it wasn't even about the bubble. It was all about the money with Major League Baseball.
Right.
Which that I'm blaming them for. I mean, that completely sucked.
Yeah.
Today's so good. How do you guys keep a balance, by the way, God, with everything that's going on and the in-play possibilities, so many games? Got to be careful because, I mean, I've noticed this. I'm on some of my, because I have a 3-TV setup, I think like all you guys do, but at least one game every single day, I must be on like a 2-minute delay. So if I have that game on TV, I'm like looking at the in play. I'm like, wait a second here. I can't get involved with this one in play because it's like the right now my app says 81-74, but the TV says 76, to 69, whatever.
Well, I don't want to say it because what we had with 141 days of nothing, but there's so many damn games going on. It's like I can't keep up. I got two computers and 3 TVs, and I'm missing stuff. Now the golf's back. You got the UFC tomorrow and the golf. Mm-hmm. You have soccer. Yeah, I mean, but the one thing that helps out today is it'll be wall-to-wall NHL for me because the Utah-San Antonio game's intriguing, although Utah's sitting all these guys, and I'll be interested in OKC-Memphis. But Sacramento, Brooklyn, no thanks. Orlando, Philly, not really. Washington, New Orleans, no. Won't even watch a second. So it's just with 6 teams facing elimination and 6 playoff games to hockey from 9 o'clock till probably 10:30 at night, 11 o'clock. This is great, and we'll see if the Islanders can finish off the Panthers. And then you got to mention the ESPN Plus too, because in a couple hours you got to go put the golf on.
Sure.
Because with all the golf going on all day, so this is just it's an all-timer, Mitch. And don't forget about the weekend, because the NBA, there's 7 games on Sunday, and they're all very good, as we're getting down to the final 3-4 games before we start the playoffs.
Well, let me ask you this. What happens if all of these teams in the NHL down 2-1? What happens if they all win today?
Oh, yeah, right?
And the game five possibilities that we have then coming up.
Yeah. Yeah. Sunday. That Sunday's going to be crack cocaine. I'll tell you that. Can you imagine
I'm going to have to clone myself like five times on Sunday.
Yeah, right. Oh, I know. You got game fives left and right, seven NBA, and you got Koepka and Tiger in the back nine tied. Hey, good luck. What are you going to do? It's like, this isn't fair. It's like we said earlier in the week. I'm rusty. Everyone's rusty. In play. Yep. I can't keep track. What else? Wait a second. Toronto just blew a 17-point lead. I don't have enough televisions. You have to go to a sports book or bar. You got to go to Bar Canada and see Mike Palm. You can't keep up.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have to have if Circa was open right now, obviously the new hotel and like that new mega bar would be open with how many of our TVs that would be the spot.
What is it,
50 TVs or whatever? Oh, yeah, look at some of the spots they're going to have.
Yeah. Look at the overhang. That is sexy.
Wow. That place. Yeah. Amazing. You know, I got an idea. I think maybe you guys should do your show from down there when the hotel opens. What do you think?
Good call. Yeah. Good call, my friend. Okay. Yeah.
Matt, when's the last time you wore a black tie?
Or went
to a black tie event, I should say.
I've not worn a tie since the 1990s.
Will you go, Matt?
Ties are out of style. You wear a sport coat now with an open collared shirt. You don't wear a tie anymore.
The Circa opening is black tie. Well, you gonna go?
You know, I checked my schedule. And I can't go that night. I'm busy that night.
Okay.
Okay.
Somebody told me you have to wear a tux that night. Paul, do you have a tux? Or do you have one of those?
I got to go rent one. I got to go get the monkey suit.
Why don't you just get one of those tuxedo t-shirts? Will that work?
I don't think that'll be the great thing. I mean, the casino will open at midnight. The black tie is from 7 to midnight. The casino opens at midnight. We're on the air at 4. So let's do the show drunk.
Well, there's no reason to even try to go to bed that night. Absolutely no reason whatsoever. It's not going to happen.
Get a nap. Yeah,
little known fact, Paul has a tux on hold. He's kind of like Barney in How I Met Your Mother.
I would laugh at that, but I've never seen that TV show, so I have no idea.
I might get absolutely ridiculed for this. I would say the last season was unwatchable. It was one of the worst finales ever.
Yeah.
That's probably a top 10 sitcom I've ever seen. Overall.
Is that the one with Doogie Howser all grown up? What's his name?
Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
Neil Patrick Harris.
His character, Matt, there's no way you won't like his character. Impossible not to like him on that show.
Okay, I'll pass.
Okay, I'm telling you. Paul, what were you going to say?
Will you go as Boba Fett for Halloween? Boba Fett, Mitch? That's the other thing. Well, our first day on the air at Circa could be the Halloween costume party.
Is that the big green monster from like episode 1? Again, I'm out of my element here.
Jabba the Hutt? You confuse Boba Fett with Jabba the Hutt?
That's Jabba the Hutt I'm thinking of, yeah. Okay. Luffy Nicaro, best bets UFC coming up next.